In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. Today, for the first time, the church leads us away from the celebration of the resurrection proper unto a celebration of a great miracle that occurred with the paralytic. Now, there are several interesting points about this story. One, of course, it was near a feast of the Jews. It's not said exactly which feast of the Jews it would be, but most likely it was indeed Pentecost, which was the celebration of the law given to Moses. Of course, in that same way, as we are nearing the midpoint of the Pentecostarian, the book of the 50s, the season of Pascha, we also celebrate the festival of mid-Pentecost this Tuesday evening, which proclaims the teaching of Christ in the temple. So there is a connection there. But this man who had been by the pool of Bethsaida, the sheep's pool, as it is called, is someone that we should really consider, that we should really think about. Because too often I think we tend to romanticize the times of the Scriptures and some of the stories that we find in the Scriptures. Because this particular pool was called the sheep's pool because that's where the entrails of the sacrifices that were offered in the temple were brought to be washed. Now, if you can think about that, and you think about what a pleasant odor it must have been, and what a pleasant odor it must have been from all those who were sick and suffering, who were gathered around this pool, who considered the pool sacred because of the offerings in the temple where they were cleaned, and because of the angel who stirred the water. When you think about the blind, the halt, the maimed, all manner of illnesses and conditions that must have been there. It must have been really crowded too. Not just a few people, but really crowded. And so, again, the odor must have been something unbelievable. We tend to forget also that those people that were there that couldn't move, well, my brothers and sisters, they didn't have porta potties back then. Seriously, this is what we have to think about when we think of the times that these people lived in and the things that were going on and the conditions they found themselves in. This man had been there for 38 years and he could not move by himself. 38 years, if you can imagine. I certainly can't. I can't understand what that must have been like for him. Because when the Lord came to him and saw him and said, "Do you wish to be healed?" He didn't say, "Yes, yes, right now, please do that." No, he said, I've got no one to move me to the pool. So he was thinking that somehow the Lord was saying, well, you know, perhaps we could get you to the pool. I've got no one to do it. And so the Lord simply says, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And the man got up immediately, not even thinking about it. What incredible faith he must have had to obey the word of the Lord that simply and that quickly. "Rise, take up your bed and walk." Well, I can tell you from having been in the hospital myself last year for 22 days, after that time, I could hardly stand up. But yet this man immediately is made so well as to nothing is a problem for him. And he gets up and he goes. Now, of course, since it was a Sabbath, as we know so often, the Pharisees were jumping on him, not because of the healing, but because of the movement, because it was considered work. And so they found this man and they asked him, not, "Who was it that healed you? How is it that you walk?" But no, instead, "Who was it that told you to pick up your bed and walk?" That was the big thing. That's how they were missing the boat so much in this particular instance. Of course, Jesus wouldn't have none of their hypocrisy at any time. And later he went and he sought out this man. And where did we find the man? Again, after all of these years sitting by that pool, after all the suffering that he had gone through, after the years of degradation that he must have endured, where was he? He was in the temple. He was there giving thanks to God. He was there praying. He could have gone home. He could have rested. He could have washed up, for goodness sake, any number of these things. But no, he goes into the temple and he prays. And the Lord comes to him and says to him, "Sin no more, lest something worse come upon you." Now, there's several interesting things about this. The Lord did not always require an act of faith from people that he was healing. Sometimes he did, sometimes he did not. The Lord also did not always blame a certain condition upon the sins of an individual. Remember, at one point he said, when the apostles asked him, "Who sinned, Lord, this man or his parents, that he's in this condition?" And the Lord said, "Neither, but that the works of God might be made known." Well, in this case, it was a little different. It was obvious that this man had something in his life that had caused him to be in this condition for those 38 years. We don't know how old he was, but it could have been his entire lifetime. And so the Lord is warning him, don't return to your own vomit. Don't turn back to that which got you into this position to begin with, but be cleansed instead. Accept this healing which I give you, which is for your body, but most importantly, for your soul. For it was far more important for you to be in the temple now praying than it was even if you had been able to walk perfectly. Because the spiritual always comes before the physical. Because so often the spiritual, whether it's a direct connection to a sin or not, but the very environment that we find ourselves in, one of corruption, one of death, one of decay, brings upon these horrible maladies that sometimes we get. The Lord knew all of these things with this man. And so he was striking out against those who wanted to be religious by saying, well, you know, you shouldn't have even told this man to walk because you were violating the Sabbath. And he was striking out against those who were denying the spiritual aspects of sin that often come upon mankind. It's not hard to think about these things. It's not hard to really understand them. Because we are born into this contagion of illness, we are going to suffer. We are going to experience degradation in our bodies. We are going to go through periods of time when we're just not feeling right, where something seems off, something seems amiss. Nothing in life seems to go perfectly well the whole time, does it? Whether it's a personal relationship with someone or whether it's an illness or a physical impediment. Some have physical impediments from their birth. We can't understand this always. We wonder, we ask, we say, Lord, why? Why this? Why that? Well, the answer is really simple. Because of the decision that Adam and Eve made, that we all would have made, that corruption came upon all of us. And so we all live through our lives suffering with these different impediments that are around us each and every single day. It's a very difficult thing. Life is not, as they say, a bowl of cherries. It's not something that's simple. It's a struggle all the way through. And it's even more of a struggle when we realize that we ourselves are so often to blame for the things that come upon us. Our actions, our decisions, the things that we decide that we must do, that we have to have, turn back against us. And we realize that we really didn't need those things, and that we were praying or wishing for something that was really not important to us, instead of laying it all at the foot of God and saying, "Thy will be done. You know better. You know what is best for me." Whether it's to be in a bed for 38 years, to be by this pool that I can't reach, or whether it's to be in perfect health for 38 years. We don't know. That's why we leave it all to God, and why we say glory to God for all things. Because that trust in him has to be made manifest, as the trust was in the paralytic today who really didn't even know who Jesus was. He may have heard something, we're not sure, but we do know that he recognized in his presence that there was something special that was going on, that there was something unique in what this man was saying to him. Because obviously in that entire 38 years, no one had offered to take him to that pool. No one had said, "Here, let me help you." No, you can imagine the scramble to get to that water. It must have been a really intense situation. And yet this man also, this paralytic, does something that we also do. In those 38 years, he begins to adjust to his situation. He begins to almost take pride in the fact that, well, this is the way I am. I'm here. No one ever helps me. No one can move me to the pool. This is my life, and nothing can ever change. And so often we fall into this same routine where we feel like, well, we are who we are. Nothing can change. I do the same old sins all the time. I'm always falling into this problem or that problem. Why even bother? I am who I am. And best of all, my favorite, the Lord made me like this. Wrong. Absolutely wrong. The Lord made you to walk in His footsteps, to become as little gods, to become divinized, to become the greatest of all the saints. That's what the Lord made you for. That's what the Lord made this paralytic before. And when the time was right, when Jesus Christ came upon him, he recognized it. He knew it, and he was willing to change by being obedient to the words that the Lord had given him. The Lord gives us these same words many, many times, but no, we're numbed to it. We put up our walls. Sometimes we're even afraid to change because the change might actually be for the worse. At least I know what I am now, right? Again, it takes boldness. It takes courage to reach out and touch the living God, to obey the things that He tells us to do, because oftentimes those things are not comfortable for us. There are many, many times when we're afraid. We want to say, Lord, no, please, not me. How about this other person? Call them. They're much more prepared. They're more willing. Please call them. Drag them along. But that's not what God is asking for us. He's asking of us the impossible in many cases. He's asking of us the things that are difficult, that don't always make sense, that we don't always get. But when we turn away from that, that's when we miss the road to the glory that is Jesus Christ. That's why we've always got to be open to Him, awakened to Him, ready to obey Him when we hear Him calling, even though we don't understand. My brothers and sisters, if all of us would do this, we would change the world in no time flat. If we were not cowardly in our spirits, if we did not back away from the things that the Lord demands from us. We are all paralyzed in one way or another, just like this man at the pool. Every one of us. We are all sitting isolated in our sinful selves that we see in ourselves and are afraid to change or afraid that can't change. But they can. They all can. Everyone in this room can become a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Everyone in this room can activate that baptism that was given to them. That can say, I am willing to follow the Lord. As one of the prophets in the Old Testament said, here I am, Lord, send me. And whether that sending means you go to the other ends of the earth, or whether it simply means that you change certain habits that you've become so used to, certain sins that you've become so used to, so much that you like them, even though you're afraid to admit it, that has to change and that can change. This is the time of resurrection in our church. This is the time when we see Christ exalted, when we see Him about to go up to the heavens, when we have gone with Thomas and wondered whether He was risen, that we are now going to the tomb with the myrrh-bearing women, and now we find ourselves by the pool of Bethsaida ready to be healed. Say yes to the Lord when He asks you. Be ready with courage, with understanding, and with faith, hope, and love, and He will never fail you in that path to become the things that He wants you to become. Amen. Christ is risen.